Doesn't matter wherever we are, if we're a believer in Christ, our cry to God ought to be, Father, what do you want me to do? Father, how can I present the gospel of Jesus and the love of Jesus to this world? Because regardless of what happens, you know what the problem is? It's not this, it's not that, it is sin. And that people who are lost need Jesus. That's the problem. And the answer, we have him. He lives in us. He says that when we became believers in Christ, that he and the Father abode, they make their residence in us. And that the Father sees us fit, that he would fill us with his Holy Spirit. We're talking about that today because today is such a great celebratory day, a glorious day, because many thousands of years ago on a certain day on Pentecost, something happened. And we celebrate that today. And I just want to just throw this out real quick. Just the baptism of the Holy Spirit just doesn't fall on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to find out of some equation, because I've said this before, I can't tell you when is it going to happen, when is it going to fall on you, how is it going to look, how is the overflowing power and presence of the Holy Spirit going to fall upon you, what's it going to look like, is it going to look exactly like Acts chapter 2? I can't tell you how it's going to look like, but I do know it is a promise from the Father, and we're going to find out what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. But today is a glorious day where God fulfilled his promise, and Jesus talks about this promise. So let's go to Luke chapter 24, verses 46. We'll see if my little ticker works. All right. So Luke 24, verse 46 through 49, if you'll stand, please. It says, then he said to them, thus it is written, I need to put my helpers on. Thus it is written, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48 says, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit moves in this place. We welcome the Holy Spirit, not just in this room, but into our lives. Holy Spirit, give us the revelation of God's word today, that we would be able to take a nugget of truth, something that we can apply to our life today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, notice that it says, I send the promise of my Father. I send. Now, Jesus is talking here, and he says, I send. Now, just last week, I sent something to my son, Josiah. It didn't get there on the time that they said they was going to get there. How many of you ever experienced that? A little frustrating, right? I had to step out of myself and be like, all right, it's just a package. He'll get it in Jesus' name. Hopefully nobody stole it, but hopefully he'll get it. You know, I'm rebuking those porch pirates away from whatever I sent him. But I'm hoping that it gets there. But you know what? One thing that we can attest to or know, that if Jesus said something, it's going to happen, right? He said. And so he said, I send the promise of my Father. I mean, that's what Jesus said. Let's see if my ticker works. There we go. Jesus said, I send. I will send. It's not somebody else, but Jesus said this. The promise of my Father upon you. And now notice it says a promise of God. Now God was and still is willing to keep his promises. Amen. There's not a promise that God says, oh, I that obstacle's in my way. I don't know if I can move it. You guys are just going to have to deal with my weakness. And no, there is no weakness in God. God will keep his promises. But notice what he also says again in this verse, verse 49. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Jenny just mentioned this about tarrying in his presence. Now listen, I just wanted to just throw this out at you. I don't know if you're doing it at home, but we have a certain time here at the church where we spend an hour in prayer. If you're not able to come to the church to spend an hour in prayer, my prayer is that you're spending an hour of prayer at home in your prayer closet. Now, why do I say an hour? Well, if you go back, I believe it's in Matthew, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. He goes back to the disciples who've fallen asleep. How many of you have ever fallen asleep and praying? Be honest, be honest. I have. You've fallen asleep while you've prayed. I've laid before the Lord, right? Yeah. Okay, so I've laid and fallen asleep before the Lord. I'm not too proud to say that it's never happened to me. But he goes back and he finds his disciples sleeping. And what does he say? Could you not tarry 1 hour? So don't get all up in an uproar like, wow, Pastor, you say pray for 1 hour. I really can't. Jesus expected his disciples to pray for 1 hour. And he came back and he found them asleep. So I also want to point out this. I am not using the disciples' example for you to fall asleep in prayer. Try not to, okay? Jesus was hoping not to find them asleep, but he did. So tarry in the city of Jerusalem. They waited in the city of Jerusalem for what? Until you are endued with power from on high. Notice, upon you, tarry until you are endued with power. So Jesus said, but I also want to point out that it's not just the fact that Jesus mentions about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and fire, but John the Baptist also mentions this in Matthew 3:11. He says, I indeed baptize you with water and repentance. I indeed baptize you in this water. But there is one who is coming after me, who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. This was even mentioned. And Jesus didn't, it wasn't Jesus talking, it was John the Baptist that he was talking to these people that have come to hear him as he was preaching that there was a need for repentance and he was baptizing people unto repentance. Now, let me add another amazing truth, because I do not know the exact date, the exact amount of time of years, but I do feel that it is safe to say that over 2,500 years ago, this Pentecost that we're talking about today that we find here in Acts chapter 2, that we find that Jesus is talking about in Luke 24, this Pentecost was, this promise of divine power was prophesied by the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Now, the prophet Joel, he began his ministry in 835 B.C., and it ended around 796 B.C. I don't think anybody was born at that, right? You know, I'm kidding. But it was a long time ago that God's prophet was sent to God's people to speak to God's people what God wanted them to hear. Still today, God is wanting to use his people to do what God wants to be done. He is still looking for people who will tarry, who will wait, who will say, Lord, I am ready. So here, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, this isn't my main text, but I felt like this was important for us to cover these about this glorious day that Jesus said, I send the promise of the Father, and you are to tarry as it comes upon you. You see, we have to understand that. We have to understand that it is God's plan and it is our purpose. Knowing his plan gives us purpose and reasoning as to how we are to live. How are we supposed to live? Live by the Spirit of God. How are we supposed to think? Live by the revelation of God through the Holy Spirit. How are we supposed to act? By the fruits of the Spirit that the Spirit provides for every believer, that every believer must grow. You see, it is by God's Holy Spirit that we're able to follow his plan. It ought to be our purpose to know how to live and to know what we're to do. And it is God's Holy Spirit that helps us do this. His plan is to fill every believer. Everybody say every. All right, just making sure you're awake. Every believer with his spirit and power to become witnesses for Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus mentions to his disciples, and he's giving them these instructions, and the writer of Luke, or the writer of Acts, is telling us, and you'll find it in your Bibles, most Bibles, it's in red. That means that Jesus is speaking. In Acts 1:8, Jesus gives the instruction to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise that you will be endued with power. Power for what? just so that I can have it in my back pocket? Power for what? So that I can have it like my voting registration card or my library card? Power for what? To be bold witnesses for Christ. How many of you have ever found yourself that you're not that bold as a witness? Listen, we all need to be bold witnesses for Christ. And just because you memorized the Romans Road, a group of scriptures to quote to somebody, just because you've taken some class, that doesn't give you the boldness to be witnesses. It's the Spirit of the living God, because it's what Jesus said. This is what allows us to be bold witnesses for Christ. The Holy Spirit coming and overflowing us with his power, God's power. So this is what Jesus said, that he had to die to be raised, and he had to die to be raised from the dead on the third day, and that you and I, not just these disciples, but you and I are to be preaching this gospel of repentance, and that everyone's sins ought to be forgiven, the remission of sins for all nations. For all nations. For all nations, doesn't matter what nationality or ethnicity you are. For all nations, that every person ought to understand and know there is an opportunity for your sins to be forgiven. There is a gospel for repentance. That's why today is the day of salvation. Every single one of us needs to know this. And if you're sitting there, you're thinking, yeah, I know this. You're at home and you're watching. Yeah, I know this. It's our responsibility as believers in Christ to proclaim this. And if you ever become too timid or scared or intimidated, you call out to God and say, God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, I'm able to speak this. God, you want me to go over there? This has happened to me before. I knew that the Holy Spirit was wanting me to go into a store to talk to somebody, but I've chickened out. How many of you ever chickened out before? All right, only a few of us. The rest of us are lying. Okay, so a few of us, we've chickened out. But you know what? I've had to repent and go to God and say, God, would you forgive me? Because I really felt this small. You've given me this message. You've given me this love. You've given me this Holy Spirit. And you've given me this opportunity. And I chickened out and I turned around and I walked out of the store. God, would you forgive me? God, would you help me that the next time you want to use me, God, that I will be bold and that I will respond the way you want me to respond? That's how we're to respond. We're not supposed to respond, oh, I'm not going to get this right. I'll just throw in the towel. Forget this Christianity stuff because I can't ever do it anyway. You're right, you can't. It's the Spirit of God that is able, that is enabling you to do this. And we need to lean on God and his power for us to be these witnesses that he wants us to be. Because he wants to use us, using us, filling us with his Spirit and power. And he gives us the ability to accomplish this. What's this? His plan. You can't accomplish his plan on any other way without, I mean, you need his, we need his Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, this is our main text. I've been reading this verse and thinking and meditating on this verse all week long, week and a half long. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this, that this would ought to be our main text. And as I'm reading this, I want to ask you, which person do you see yourself as? Which person can you relate to in this passage of scripture? And so Paul asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. In my mind, this is how they respond. What? What Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit who? They don't understand. They don't know about that. So they say, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said into John's baptism. You see, as John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan, this is all that they knew. They didn't know that there was a baptism in the Holy Spirit. They didn't even know whether there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. These were young, immature believers. people that didn't know. But we find later in this passage that they weren't the kind of people that said, nah, I don't need what you got for me, guy. No, Paul, I don't need what you got. No, I'm good the way I am. You know, some Christians, they sit there or they stand there or they live there and they're like, no, what I know is good enough. I don't need to learn. That's sad. That's sad. I don't know all there is to know about Jesus. The moment that I begin to say, I don't need to know any more about Jesus, is the moment that I begin to die and walk away from him. I mean, what's going on with me if I ever have that attitude and mentality? And so these guys, we find out that they said that they all they knew was the baptism of John. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him. On who? On Jesus, who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus, who when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men who were about 12 in all. Now the last part of this verse I want to point out, because it may seem to you and to some that there was no water baptism. But when we look at several other scriptures here in the next few moments, we'll find out that there was a baptism in water into Jesus. And that there was a baptism in the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in tongues. Romans chapter 6 verse 3, it says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Do you know that the disciples in John chapter 20, I believe it's verse 22, Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit. See, some people believe that when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, that you have received the Holy Spirit, that you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's not what Scripture teaches us. When we become believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit becomes our comforter and our teacher. He's the one that knocks us upside the head when we are convicted of saying or doing things or having a bad attitude. Why? Because he's living in us. He dwells within us. But there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit that on many occasions we find in Scripture, even today, there is a baptism where there is a laying on of hands. And on the day of Pentecost, God laid his hands on the people as they were waiting. But upon the laying of the hands, people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so let's continue. So as I mentioned, considering yourself in this text, which person do you familiarize yourself with? As Paul? As one who seeks to share Jesus, who is also filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you familiarize yourself as one of the 12? I know a little bit about the baptism, but not much. Or like one of the 12? Holy Spirit, who? I don't even know that there's a Holy Spirit. See, just as in the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon those who didn't really know what was going to happen. As I mentioned in Acts 1:8, Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father that they would be endued with power. Jesus didn't give them a time, what time it was going to happen. Now, when Jesus ascended into heaven and they went to Jerusalem, it was about 10 days, give or take, that they were in Jerusalem and waiting for the promise of the Father. You see, if you remember a couple weeks ago, we had Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and 49 days from there would be yesterday. Pentecost, Penta means 50, and today is the 50th day. God orchestrated everything on that day of Pentecost that there would be a swarms of people in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Harvest. And all these people didn't realize the harvest that God was wanting was people. That is why the Holy Spirit came to baptize those that were in the upper room. How many of you guys agree with this? If you raise your hand if you agree with me. People are fickle. Right? Now, because I know myself, I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody, but because I know myself and how much effort it takes, that I need to apply patience, I begin to wonder, Father, how many people were in that upper room on day one? You'll find in Acts chapter 1, I believe it's verse 14 or 15, there were 120 people in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. My question to the Father, does it really matter? Not really, but my question to the Father is, Lord, were there 250? Were there 300? Were there 400 people? Was that room jam-packed? People sitting outside, people sitting on the windowsill, people just crowded inside because they were waiting. And then after 4 or 5 days, I got to go. I got to go take care of some things. And it dwindled down to 120. You see, the problem is that we people as fickle, we need to learn to be patient. And I'm telling you, because patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit, you can't earn, gain, grow patience on your own. You need the Holy Spirit of God for that. So just in that one fruit of the Holy Spirit, we can all attest to the fact that, yeah, I need the Holy Spirit. I need God's Spirit to help me to be patient. And so as Jesus came, or as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit was coming. Again, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? Well, on the day of Pentecost, it had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I mean, I don't know how it sounded like that, but it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Ladies and gentlemen, God-filled, I'm having problems with it. God-filled, God empowered his people. He empowered his people on the day of Pentecost. And again, like I said, all of those hundreds or thousands of people in Jerusalem did not realize what was about to happen. But God was preparing the disciples that were ready, ready to receive. Do you ever sit and think about what were they actually saying? What were they doing? Were they praying? God, I have no idea what you're doing, but Jesus said that you're going to pour power, or your promise is going to come and we're going to be endued with power. Do you know what that looks like, John? No, I don't. Neither do I, but I'm not leaving anywhere. I'm sitting right here waiting. I'm not sure how many of you are still praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to have that Pentecost moment in your life. But can I ask you, don't sell yourself short. Don't put yourself down. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that you're no good, that God's using other people that are better. Just wait. Just continue to tarry. Again, I have no idea as how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, but I do know that Jesus said he's going to send, and it's a promise from the Father. And you can trust that the Father will keep his promise. Because there are people who are lost, and we need the boldness by the Holy Spirit to be those witnesses, to proclaim the gospel to the lost. So God-filled, God-empowered. And let me just also share this. The Holy Spirit doesn't overtake you, doesn't possess you, doesn't take charge over you. Scripture gives us some examples or answers to this. We can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. That word quench means suppress or extinguish. Any of you ever have you're cooking out, you're grilling, and all of a sudden, you know, it's just, you know, I'm not sure how many of you are very well at cooking or grilling, but the fire, I mean, there's fire, and you got to cover it. I mean, you throw some dirt on it, literally throw dirt. That'd be the good thing. But we can do that to the Holy Spirit. We can sift him out. Push him to the side. What? We could do that to the Spirit of God? Yes, because you're not willing and you're not ready and you don't want to have any part with what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32 through 33, it mentions that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. That's why if we were to have 5 or 10 people begin to give messages in tongues, it is our responsibility to quiet the congregation and say, hey, that's enough. We have scripture to teach us that 2 or 3, no more, because there ought to be order in our service. And for anyone to stand up and say, but the Spirit of God is overcoming me. No, the Spirit of God doesn't do that. He doesn't possess you and take control over you. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. So we can be led by him, or we can give him, not give him the time of day and be about our own business. See, this is very important. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. If you live by the Spirit of God, you put to death the deeds of the body. Oh, how many of us want to put to death the deeds of the flesh? Amen. And we do so by living by the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 10, real quick. Verse 24, then I'm going to read verses 30 through 33, then I'm going to read verses 42 to 48. Now, in Acts chapter 10, I'll just give you the intro to this. God reveals to Peter in a vision. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing of what Peter sees, but what God is trying to get Peter's attention is the gospel of Jesus Christ is for every person, no matter their Jew or Gentile. Does not matter what race, does not matter the color of their skin, does not matter what side of the planet they're from. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all. And Peter needed to hear this because there is a guy by the name of Cornelius who has been praying, and then an angel speaks to him, and then Cornelius sends his messengers to go find a guy by the name of Peter by a beach house. Who's staying at a beach house. I say it's a beach house. So it's by Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So he has a beach house. So Peter is at a beach house. Cornelius sends two messengers to go find Peter and say, hey, we want you to come. My master is asking you to come and that you have something to say to us. So that's what happens. Verse 24, the following day, they entered Caesarea. Who's they? Peter, his Jewish friends, and the messengers that Cornelius sent. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I believe that that is very important for us to hear today. Cornelius was ready, and he gathered all of his family and he gathered all of his friends to hear what God wanted him to hear. I pray that we spend time in the presence of God and that we would be able to say, Father, I am ready and I will gather however many people I can to come to hear what you have to say. Invite someone to church. The end of next month, we will celebrate 31 years of ministry here in Kingsland. I ask you to invite a friend. Hopefully by that time, we won't have to section off these seats. Please pray for us. We want to be led by the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God and direction when we can have a full-fledged service, kids' classes and nursery and everything. So that's my prayer, that we'll be able to celebrate and everybody be here. So anyway, Cornelius was waiting for them. Verse 30, Cornelius said, because Peter said, hey, what'd you ask me? What'd you call me for? Cornelius said, hey, Peter, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man. So he begins to tell him what happened. This angel of God tells him that your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered in the sight of God. So go send messengers to call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Verse 33, so I sent for you to come immediately, Peter, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. What's he saying? We're ready. What do you got to say? We're ready. I mean, what an introduction. I mean, to be called from his beach house, relaxing, chilling out by the sun. No, I'm kidding. But in a home by the name of Simon, who is a tanner, and he's being called to come to Caesarea for what? I don't know. You've just been called to come. And Peter came. See, that vision was important. Peter had to see that vision to understand, and here he gets the big picture. The gospel. I'm to present the gospel to these Gentiles, no longer just Jews, but Gentiles. So verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. The church shouldn't either. The church shouldn't either. Brian mentioned earlier about, the different ethnicities in our church. Man, this is what heaven's going to look like. This is what heaven's going to look like. And then some. Because I'm praying for people from all over the world, that God would send people, you know, from all over. It's awesome when you find out the different stories from people of how God led them here. Brother Tim, God led him here and confirmed it through the good old song, Georgia's on My Mind. If you want to hear a cool story, ask Tim Wilcox to share with you how God led him here. God led Mike and Lori Mitchell all the way from Alaska, 5 or 6 years ago. And now they've planted a church in Folkestone. You can't tell me God is not in this. So God is not a respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. Verse 35. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now that works righteousness by faith. You and I, we can't work all day to earn righteousness. No, we'll earn unrighteousness, but we receive righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Christ, Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. For the sake of time, Peter continues to share certain things. And then in verse 42, it says, and he commanded us, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is Jesus who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remissions of sins. God is commanding us to do this as well, the Great Commission. Verse 45, and those of the circumcision, the Jews who were with Peter, I skipped a verse. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Just like it did on the day of Pentecost. They're listening. They're ready to receive. They're waiting. These are good parts of this equation that I cannot tell you what it's going to look like, where to put it. A plus B equals, I just don't know. But what I do know, if you're willing, if you're ready, if you're willing to wait and tarry, continue to do that. God, Jesus said that he will send the God. It's the promise of the Father. Therefore, he will keep his promise. It will come. And so verse 45, and those of the circumcision, the Jews that were with Peter, they were astonished. Jaws hit the floor. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because why? The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. We find in Scripture that when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens, and or the baptism of the baptism in water, the remission of sins. This is what happens. So listen, if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, but man, you can't even remember the last time that you were dipped in water, but you've repented and given your life back to the Lord, it's time for another water baptism. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, do not throw the white flag or the white towel and say, I give up. That's it. He don't want to give it to me, so I don't want it. That's bitterness, and it'll tear you up, and it'll ruin, and you will not accomplish God's will for your life. So continue to pray, continue to seek, continue to be ready, continue to sit there and say, Father, I'm ready. I'm willing to receive. See, some people have forgotten that Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. Some people have forgotten that Jesus said, it is expedient that I need to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you. Some people probably don't realize that this promise from the Father, well, he ain't going to keep it. No, he is going to keep it. And some have yet to receive or do not see the importance of receiving the Holy Spirit, and they'll just say, forget all this. It's just not for me. It is for you. And it's not me saying, it's what Jesus said. It is for you. It is for every believer. Even God said it through the prophet Joel. It is through the Holy Spirit of God that we are able to accomplish the will of God. So therefore, the will of God for our lives, we can accomplish it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, Holy Spirit, let me catch up here. Holy Spirit enabled and directed. He enabled the disciples and he will enable us today. He directed the disciples where to go and he will direct us today. He is not out to lunch. He has not quit. He has not filed for bankruptcy. The Holy Spirit is still at work today. No theologian can come to fully understand the things of God without the Spirit of God, because you and I, our flesh cannot, nor will it be able to understand the things of God, because the things of God are spiritual. And our minds, as jacked up as they are, they need renewing every day. And we need the Holy Spirit to reveal God's word and God's instructions to us. By the Holy Spirit, we become the people of God that he desires us to become. Because of the Holy Spirit, we're born again. Remember, there was a guy by the name of Nicodemus. He wanted to know how to get to heaven. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. He says, say what? I got to go through my mother's womb. No, knucklehead, no. You have to be born again by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that knocks on our hearts and points out the sin in our lives and causes us to see that we need to ask God for forgiveness, because it is our sin that divides us from a relationship with God. So the Holy Spirit reveals that to us. By the Holy Spirit, we become prayer warriors. Now, some of you, you're not there yet. Don't give up. You're not there yet. But the Holy Spirit will teach you that, you know what? 15 minutes, it's a sweat off your brow. Continue. Keep going and praying. Keep waiting in the presence of the Lord. Keep calling out to God. Keep praying for your neighbors. Keep praying for this person and that person. It's by the Holy Spirit that we become prayer warriors. Even in prayers that we don't fully understand. Anybody ever been there? You don't know how to pray. The scripture tells us the Spirit begins to pray through us in words that we cannot even understand. It's the Spirit that speaks and prays through us. And because of the Holy Spirit, we become bold witnesses through Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit of God, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25 of that same chapter, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's because of the Spirit of God that we're able to follow him and live for him and live in the way that God wants us to live. Hallelujah. You see, in this passage of scripture that we went over a little while ago about Paul talking to these 12 men and have you received the Holy Spirit. And here in a few moments, I'm going to ask all of us, and even those of you that are watching online, I'm going to ask you to not reenact what happened here in Acts 19. Not exactly. But you see, in these scriptures that I have, in John chapter 16, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Do you know who was speaking? Jesus was saying that. And he wasn't just saying that to the disciples before him, but he is saying that to the disciples and every believer that would believe on their account of what Jesus is wanting for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, Jesus mentions this, and there's many more functions or abilities of the Holy Spirit for every believer. And I felt led by the Spirit to share these two verses, because we cannot become who God wants us to be, who God created us to be, without the indwelling and without the overflowing of God's Holy Spirit. The world needs to see and hear true believers of Christ who are led by God's Spirit to love. Right now, in our world, in our situation, what's going on today, we need to demonstrate and speak the love of God. Now, let me encourage you with this, because I know a lot of people are on Twitter and a lot of people are on social media. Can I ask you, pray before you post whatever you feel like posting? Because it ought to be the Spirit of the living God speaking through you than your feelings and emotions. Let me give you an example of King David. We find that he calls out to God in the Psalms, and many times we find him venting. We find him complaining. We find him crying out to God. That's a great example to follow, that we cry out to God, to other people in social media. It doesn't do any good. We ought to be led by the Spirit of God. And this is what Jesus is telling us, that the Spirit of truth, God will send and God will give, God will allow him to lead us, that we will speak what is true. What is truth? Feelings and hurts and pains, we've all experienced them. Some more than others, and some run deeper than others. But it is the love of God that has been poured in our hearts. And here we find in Romans 5, it is by the Holy Spirit that God poured his love into our hearts. Therefore, it ought to be the Holy Spirit, that by the Holy Spirit we speak the love of God to those who are desperately in need of it. The Father promised, because it's his promise, he will keep it. And so what I'm asking is I know because of COVID-19, I really battled, should I do this or should I not? And Shannon, if you don't mind coming up and just playing something, because of, you know, we can't, you know, play anything because of copyright stuff. But anyway, what I want to ask us to do is this. That we be ready. And some of you are probably thinking, well, I am ready, Pastor. Well, good. But that we would be ready for what God has for us today. And then when tomorrow comes and we spend time in his presence, that we say, God, I am ready today for what you have for me today. That I will live not by my flesh, but I will live by your Spirit. That I will be led by your Spirit, so that I do not fulfill the desires of my flesh, but I will fulfill the desire of God's heart. That we would say, raise our hand, and that we would say, come Holy Spirit. Whether you want to stand or whether you want to sit, that's up to you. But I would ask that you would raise your hand, that if you are ready, that you would say, come Holy Spirit, fill me. Come Holy Spirit, lead me. Come Holy Spirit, fill me.